Mr. Bill Lucenheit. I just love good Westerns. I love Westerns. There just aren't very many good Westerns around anymore. It kind of seems to be a genre that is not as popular as it once was. But I grew up on a whole slew of Westerns. I think a lot of you did, right? Do you remember them? There was The Lone Ranger and Hopalong Cassidy and Gunsmoke and The Virginian and a whole bunch of other ones. One of the ones I really enjoyed was The Rifleman. Do you remember The Rifleman? I loved the beginning. Sometimes I would tune into the beginning of The Rifleman. I wouldn't even watch the whole program. I would just tune in as a kid to watch the beginning of Chuck Connors going down the main street of the old West town with that special gun he had. Right? Loved that beginning. And then there was Bonanza. Bonanza was one of the longest-lasting series ever in the history of television. I remember that was another program where I used to like to watch the beginning. I like to watch that show, too. But if you remember the beginning of Bonanza, and I know this is going way back for some of you, and maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. Watch TV Land, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But at the beginning of Bonanza, there was a map of the Ponderosa up there around Lake Tahoe, and a branding iron would go through it. And it would catch on fire. And I remember I got in trouble as a kid. I took a Rand McNally map out of my dad's glove box. I went in the backyard with my sister. And I took his cigarette lighter. And I set it on fire. And I was kind of doing the song, you know, dun 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 dun. And my mom saw us through the window. And I got in a bit in trouble. But the Ponderosa was kind of dear to my heart, too, because we used to have a Feast of Tabernacles site up in Squaw Valley, up there in Tahoe. How many people, anybody? Everybody over the age of 50 has been there. And we'd have some 8,000 people would be there in the Blythe Arena, which was the hall for the Olympics back in 1960. And I used to love to go, and so did everybody else. They had the Ponderosa Ranch. You could go and visit it there. And you could literally go into the old house that they filmed the program in. And I remember going in there and saying, wow, can you believe it? That's the very stove that Hop Singh made flapjacks for Little Joe and Hoss and Dad and Candy. And sadly, a number of years ago, it burned down. And it was already kind of dying as a tourist attraction because we're getting older, are we not? Not that many people remember Bonanza. It's kind of like the Roy Rogers Museum up there in Victorville. It went away. Nobody remembers Roy Rogers, another good Western that I used to enjoy. But Westerns, I don't know why I like them so very much. For me, they're almost as good as baseball. And I think it has to do with the hero versus the villain. The good guys against the bad guys. The black hats and the white hats. It was real easy to identify the side of good and the side of wrong. There wasn't a lot of question about it. There wasn't a lot of debate. There's bad guys and you kill them, right? And when it comes to Westerns, you just kind of take those types of themes, jam them all together with that Southwestern backdrop and a cactus and a dusty old town, throw in some horses, some saloon girls and some tumbleweeds, lather, rinse, and repeat. And in my mind, it's kind of hard to go wrong. Kind of hard to go wrong. I just really enjoy Westerns. We used to play cowboys and Indians as kids. And this is a little bit politically incorrect, but we used to do that. We used to play allies versus the Axis, too. And, of course, everybody's dad was a World War II vet. And in our town, we'd usually get into some kind of a toy gun fight or a BB gun war or a rock fight or a bottle fight or a bottle rocket fight or whatever it was, you know, based on the teams. Now, in our neighborhood, it was... And by the way, the teams went the same way, whether it was Westerns or whether it was World War II. It would always seem to be the same teams. It was Lucenheide, you're the Kraut, and Glenn Sasaki, you're the Japanese guy, and all the rest of us are the good guys. So it was like 2 against 25. But we were pretty good. We held out pretty good, Glenn Sasaki and I back-to-back. But it carried over when we played cowboys and Indians. What was Glenn Sasaki and I had to be the Indians and all the guys were the cowboys. I don't know how that worked out, but that was that. But how many times in the old Westerns, as you recall, was the theme, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new sheriff in town. And I could picture Wyatt Earp. He's been in many movies. There was Tombstone. There was the O.K. Corral. Perhaps you've seen those movies. And Wyatt Earp, he moved constantly throughout the West from one boom town to another. And he left Dodge City in 1879 and moved to Tombstone, along there with his brothers James and Virgil, when there was a silver boom. And there the Earps clamped down on the town. They literally declared, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new attitude around here. And they clashed with a loose confederation of outlaws and misfits that were known as the Cowboys. Wyatt, Virgil, and their younger brother Morgan, they held various law enforcement positions to put them in conflict with Tom and Frank McClory and the like, and Billy Clanton, who threatened on many occasions to kill the Earps. And the conflict later escalated the next year, culminating in 1881 in the gunfight at the O.K. Corral, in which the Earps and Doc Holliday killed three of the Cowboys. Yes, there was a new sheriff in town. I actually have a client who's a descendant of the Clantons. He kind of resembles them based on the old photographs I've seen. It's kind of remarkable. Surprisingly enough, I even have a connection with the Earps. I spent all my summers living up in Wrightwood, California, right up the road here. And Wyatt Earp actually lived until 1929. He moved here to L.A. County. And he used to spend his summers right up there in Wrightwood, up in Lone Pine Canyon at the Almond Clyde Ranch, and go hunting up there. They'd go up there and they'd hunt bighorn sheep and deer. And him and his brother Virgil would visit there quite a bit. And I made a discovery. Diane Clark, who many of you know, she actually grew up in Wrightwood too. So I was very surprised and happy to find out about our connection here. But let's move our conversation a little bit more of a spiritual direction. What am I trying to do? What am I trying to accomplish here? I want to shock you, but God's holy day season is just right around the corner. It's just a matter of 4 or 5 weeks now before the Passover season, the days of unleavened bread. And when we examine the holy day plan of God, it's very difficult to actually take those days and just try to look at them singularity. They stand as a whole. There's a whole message in there, a theme that goes all the way across all seven of them for the plan of God and the plan of salvation. They stand as a total unit. One leads to the next. And again, it's hard to separate them. When Jesus Christ returns to earth in his full majesty as the conquering king, which we symbolically view as the Feast of Trumpets, and when Satan's bound for 1,000 years, represented by the Day of Atonement, it's going to usher in a time of restoration of new things, a unique time that will, where things will never be the same again. In a truest sense of the word, when our Lord and Savior returns to this earth and establishes the kingdom of God, there's going to be a new sheriff in town. And everything that we know will change for the better. And yes, indeed, those of us that are called of God, privileged, not because of our good looks or our intelligence or any other factor, but he has decided to let us be his deputies, appointed to help him in ushering in a tremendous new age to this earth and for mankind. So indeed, the title for today's sermon, no surprise, there's a new sheriff in town. And in Western genre, whenever there's that new sheriff, it usually spells trouble for the bad guys, does it not? It means there's going to be doing things a little bit different, quite a bit different, as was done in the past. It insinuates that times will be better after the new sheriff takes over. Let's turn in the Bible over to Acts 3, Acts chapter 3. We'll pick up the account in verse 19 for some context. Acts 3, verse 19. Peter's speaking to the crowd of men who had gathered on Solomon's porch to see the man who had been healed through Peter. And Peter kind of calls them out for marveling at the miracle. And he builds on the same thing that he spoke at the sermon on at Pentecost, teaching them that the one has gone up who the Father had sent to be killed. And he tells them very specifically in verse 19, "Repent you therefore and turn again, that your sins be blotted out, so they may become a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, and that he may send Christ, who has been appointed for you, even the Lord Jesus. He said, repent and turn again. Give up the way of life that you're currently leading, that your sins might be forgiven, that they might be blotted out, that the seasons of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Now, a number of commentaries refer to this term, the season, the refreshing. The best rendering of Greek in that passage would be, in order that times of refreshing may come. And he makes this point, this refreshing, in terms of the second coming of Jesus Christ. What is this word refreshing? It's a Greek word, anapsuxis. It means recovery of your breath. Recovery of breath. That's what it means when it's saying refreshing. To catch your breath, so to speak. It's only used one single time in all of Scripture and used in this location. I remember one time we were playing football as kids. I ended up playing just basketball and baseball in high school, and I'll tell you why. I was in the eighth grade, and I played linebacker, and the guards pulled around. The guy went right with his head right into my stomach and knocked me on my whatever. I'm trying to obey Mr. Richardson's call to better language. Anyway, I was on the ground, I was seeing stars, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't have that time of refreshing. It was there I had an epiphany moment. I said, you know, I don't think I want to play football anymore. I think I'm not quite cut out for this one. But the time of refreshing, catching one's breath. And after the terrible events of the day of the Lord, when there's the seals and the bowls and those trumpets, as you recall back in Revelation, terrible things will be happening. A third of mankind dying by war and a quarter by disease and all the fish dying in the ocean. Terrible times. Terrible times. Jesus Christ is going to return with 1,000 years of peace and prosperity that the millennium represents. A time of refreshing. A time to catch our breath. And even before this terrible time of the tribulation and the end times, don't you sort of feel like you're out of breath a little bit? Just the pace of life. I don't do the 10 freeway. I do the 91. All right? And there's times I feel like I need to catch my breath. I need the time of refreshing right there on the 91 freeway. But no, Jesus Christ will have the restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets. That's what a lot of the Old Testament was, and the minor prophets, the major prophets. And the Lion Handbook of the Bible says this, page 376. God sent those prophets on a daunting and sometimes dangerous mission. They were for the most part dispatched at the 11th hour. God gives us a lot of rope. He gives us a lot of rope. And finally he reaches a point, hey, we're right there, tip point. And the attempt is to try to halt people's headlong rush to destruction, to warn them of judgment, to call them back to God in repentance. And after that great crash came, to comfort the survivors with the assurance of God's continuous love and purpose for them. To a man, the prophets went out in the burning conviction that they had a message from God, and they braved death to bring it to us. There's a new sheriff in town. It's coming. And so prophecy, let me tell you what prophecy is. It's not meant as something so you can do market timing for the stock market and make a lot of money or something, right? Or I can live worldly. I can go and just live whatever way I want, and then I'll look at the signs of the times, and I'll start coming back to church. That's what, because I'll use prophecy and the interpretation of it and all of that. That's a mistake. That's not what prophecy is for. Prophecy is for a call to repentance and refreshing right now, today. That is the purpose of prophecy. It's not for us to try to figure it out and that we're privileged with some kind of fortune telling. That is not the purpose of prophecy. No, the prophet sent the message of repentance and impending judgment. But ultimately, and this is what's really important, mercy and hope. Mercy and hope. Those times are still to come. Merriam-Webster, the famous dictionary, refers and defines restoration as the following. 3 points. One is the act or process of returning something to its original condition by repairing it and cleaning it. The second point for restoration, the act of bringing back something as it existed before. And three, the act of returning something that was stolen or taken. When someone restores a car, Bob Carlyle, he likes to restore cars, or if you restore a home, they painstakingly make sure that every aspect of that car or home is like it was when it was original, that the pieces are like new. A properly restored car would look no different in the restoration complete as the first day maybe it rolled right off of the assembly line. You know, unless you're chopping it or doing something like that. But a lot of people, right, they want it factory made. I'm getting a nod of yes on that. No, it looks no different. It rolled right off that assembly line or when that final nail was hammered into the house. It's authentic the way the builders or designers intended it. So restoration returns it to the state of original condition, the way it was intended to be. And God has a way that he intended it to be, did he not? And he wants a restoration of all things. A return to the way things were in the beginning. Before sin entered into the earth to destroy its original state. Bringing back something that existed before. Returning it to original glory. But actually, God even says, in this restoration, it's going to be even better than it was before. The Garden of Eden was a great place, but it's even going to be better. After his restoration and healing, God's going to usher in his kingdom for all eternity that will be new. It's going to be totally different. For the first time ever, the Father will dwell amongst men. Yes, we can dwell with God in a spiritual sense and commune with him. The very Father in heaven will dwell amongst men. And that has never happened. That's something totally new. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that first 1,000 years, leading the world, the healing of the world will begin. And of course, the Feast of Tabernacles, we talk about this a lot, is symbolic of those 1,000 years. When Satan's influence will finally be put away, one of those bad guys, he's a bad guy, he's a scoundrel, he's a black hat. To be put away, and mankind will have the opportunity finally to experience an incredible time of peace and prosperity, restoration, healing, catching our breath. There's going to be a new sheriff in town. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Isaiah 43. It speaks about that time of restoration. It speaks of the time of the new sheriff in town. The royal damaged and destroyed by the seals and the bowls and plagues will be in desperate need of these times of restoration and refreshing. Indeed, we will be healed. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it bring forth, shall you not know it? It will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We won't even want to remember the former ways. They'll be forgotten and put away. It'll be so grand, it's something we won't even want to recall. Christ's return is the beginning of a new restoration. There's an incredible amount of work to be done after he returns, as we see in Scripture. Not everyone's going to appreciate his coming. There's going to be war. There's a beast. There's a false prophet that's coming. They will all need to be destroyed, apprehended, put in their place, put in prison, bound. This is not lightweight stuff here. God does not mess around when it comes to this. God's not multicultural. That poor Satan, he just wants to live. You know, he just wants to have a place. It doesn't work that way. There is good and evil in this world, brethren. I know the world doesn't always want to believe that, but there is evil, there are terrible things, and it must be stopped. And we have an advocate named Jesus Christ who will be that sheriff. And there will be no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And I'm not trying to paint an ogre God. He is loving and he is kind and he is just. A man who shed tears when he was on earth. He's not a bully. But our God is a God of justice and of truth. And a good sheriff is a man of justice and truth and mercy as well. Now, the millennium will be a time of great peace and prosperity. But sadly, that time is not today, is it not? We see it on the nightly news, flexing muscles in Asia. It could be North Korea or China launching missiles and taking islands and the like, trying to make some sort of point that they have military strength and need to be respected for that reason. We see bombings and fighting going on inside of where? Syria, Libya, Iraq. It just all the time there's new things going on. Acts of terrorism, you never know where it's going to pop up. Could be right down the street. Like it happened just a little over a year ago. Only a year and a couple months. Seems almost like ancient history, does it not? Why? Because of all the other nonsense that's happened since then. Civil war in Syria, 300,000 people dead. 300,000. It's displaced 11 million people. 50 million people plus were killed in World War II. 50 million people. Can you imagine? That's more people living all in the state of California. It's only 37 million people in California. Millions more were killed by Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot. I'm just speaking of the last century, let alone through the millennia. The billions that have been lost by war. I was just reading some history the other day, one of Kyle's textbooks. I was going through it. And it's just from one war to another. That's the history of us. One war to another war to another war. For mankind globally, it doesn't matter where it was. South America, North America, Asia, Europe, Africa. War after war after war. Tears and agony of every kind. Loss of children, loss of mothers, loss of loved ones, loss of sons. And on top of that, for the survivors, crippling post-traumatic stress syndrome, regrets, fears, haunting people for the rest of their lives. Brethren, this is what mankind's capable of doing to ourselves. This is what years of ruling ourselves has led to. It's the old way of doing things, and those old ways are going to have to be forgotten. It has to change. It simply cannot continue as it is. And as Solomon said, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the ways will end up in death. In the entire history of man, there's been precious few years that there was not war somewhere. There was been very few times of peace. Karl von Clausewitz, the famous Prussian general in the 1800s, who tried to introduce the theory of moral and just war. War by rules. We try to have that even today, right? We have the Geneva Convention, right? War by rules. It's insane. But he did say this, to secure peace is to prepare for war. Those peaceful times, by and large, haven't lasted very long, have they not? Now mark this down. Mark it down. Make a mental note at least. Mankind left to himself will destroy himself and every human being and every living thing on this planet. That is our destiny without God. That's a definite. We're working on it. It's getting closer. The best minds in science today are working on that reality to come true. It's a shame. Indeed, we see Scripture that God will have to intervene in the affairs of man. Revelation verse 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was followed great voices in heaven, and they said, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Notice this, the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of our Lord. God the Father grants that Christ will have the authority to rule for the 1,000 years of the millennium. The King of Kings rules the kingdoms of the world. And there will be no going back and no returning the way their things were. There's a new sheriff in town. Now let me propose something when Jesus Christ comes back. How do you think this will happen? Will he go on Conan, or will he go on some other late night talk show? And he'll have him on and he'll talk about his positions? Try to win the audience that way. We have a town hall meeting. We'll have some question and answer. Will CNN go there and, do some fake news about Jesus Christ? Rumor about something about that Mary Magdalene or something? Is that what's going to happen? Is that the way it's going to be? It is not going to be that way. It's not going to be accomplished in the way that things are accomplished today. That is not how it will be when the new sheriff comes to town. Isaiah 2 verse 4, he will judge between the nations and will decide concerning many persons and peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not live sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And this is going to be accomplished at first through the rule of force, through the rod of iron. And it's going to take a while, a couple generations, before this world actually begins to realize the fruits of how good this rule is. And the hearts will be won. And like any of us who have children know that you just do not raise a child through the rule of law. There must also be the rule of love. You win the hearts. And that will happen. But not the first couple weeks, folks. It's going to be a little bit different. There will have to be a sheriff to kind of put some things in order into a roughneck town called the world of today. They will not learn war anymore. And those of us as future kings and priests and sheriffs in the kingdom, we must be learning now the way of peace and justice. Learning now to dwell peaceably with all men. Learning now to learn to dwell peaceably with each other. And it's been too unfortunate in our Church of God experience that we've had our own little spiffs and spaffs and wars amongst ourselves. We've got to grow past that. Let us practice now to be peacemakers. And I don't mean peacemakers like the way the old West talked about a peacemaker, which was a six-shooter. No, there's going to be no end to the increase of the government of God, increase of the peace within the government of His kingdom. And where does it come from? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Can you imagine a government whose foundations are founded on principles of justice? Do we have it now? The United States has tried to establish a form of government that contains liberty and justice for all. Remember that in the Pledge of Allegiance? One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. And that is honorable. I do appreciate the effort. It's rare to find that. We are a special people. We are a covenant people. Anytime it says in God we trust on the money, right? You find that anywhere else in the world. I'd like to ask, is that anywhere else in the world? You're not going to find it. But have we been successful in this? Liberty and justice for all has been a little bit elusive, has it not? We delude ourselves at times thinking the United States has all the answers. Well, we don't. That we would fix the world. We're not. Now, don't get me wrong. I pray for our presidents. I prayed for President Obama, and I'm praying for President Trump. And perhaps President Trump can accomplish some things. I hope he does. But if any of you think that that is the ultimate answer, that this is the times of refreshing that will last, Even if you're a fan of Donald Trump, you're mistaken. It will only be a season. It will only be temporary. Because the wave and the power of the voice of the power of the air, Satan himself, will override it eventually. It is the way of man. It is the way of the destiny of the faulty ways of our thinking and the faulty spirituality that we have. But again, we've been blessed as a nation from God for many years. He's blessed this country exceedingly, providing the freedoms that we enjoy and a financial prosperity the world has never seen. And I think all of us, though, will agree. But the hand of protection has been off of the United States for a long time, many decades. And what we're seeing that's happening, the confusion that we see in society, confusion of thought, confusion of living, is the result of God just removing his protection from us and letting us have it our way, like Burger King. We have it our way, and we are having to experience the fruits of our faulty spirituality and thinking and living. Now, the millennium will be a time of great healing. A few years ago, the family and I, we went down to Tijuana. We took the train. There's a train of guns right down there to San Ysidro, you know, the border gate. We went down there, and I remember we were walking around. It's kind of amazing. Here's San Diego area, a very prosperous area, and you go across the border, and immediately you notice there's something different. I saw something that was profound to me. I saw a man whose legs had been amputated, I mean, all the way up. All the way up. There were no, they're not even stumps. And this poor gentleman was going around on his, using his hands on a skateboard. He didn't even have a wheelchair. He was getting around. His hands were very calloused. His way of getting around was on an old, beat up skateboard to boot. And it was very profound to me. I think I always will remember this. Let me tell you what the time of restoration is going to look like. The eyes of the blind are going to be opened. The deaf will hear. And that man in Mexico on that skateboard is going to leap in the air with a new set of legs and run like a deer. The tongue of those who cannot speak will sing praises to the great God. And those of us, the new sheriff will bring that about, and those of us that are his deputies, we're going to be a part of this. I've made a special request for that man that personally I want to be involved with that. There's a lot of other cases too, and I think all of you can think of it. Our calling, the deputies for the new sheriff, to be able to do that, to help bring about the time of refreshing and restoration. Think of it. What a privilege it is. Let nothing get in the way of it. But brethren, that time's not yet. Until then, we're going to have to live our day-to-day life, support the local sheriff in heaven, but stand with him. We must live the life. We must live the life now. We must train. We're in the academy, if you will, the sheriff's academy. We have to train. We have to live it day by day, hour by hour. We have to take those things with us from church today. Apply it to our lives. But in the end, remember this. A sheriff is never off duty. A sheriff never is off duty. We must eat it and sleep it and drink it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Concluding scripture, Revelation 21, verse 5. Speaking of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. He sits on the throne and said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said, "Write this, for these words are faithful and true." No more indiscriminate bombings. No more refugees. No more broken families. No more corruption. No more injustice. No more disease, whether it be mental or physical. Now think of it. Desire it. Dream it. Dream it. Feel it. Want it. So we can work to wipe every tear from every eye on earth. And ultimately, no more death. more death. Those are the times of restoration that the kingdom of God will usher in. The beginning of an eternity and a time when the influence of Satan will be done away with. And when that happens, the old ways are done away. There will be a new sheriff in town.